Good morning, Mike Broomhead. My apologies. I'm about a minute late tossing it to you because we had the famous beekeeper on.
That was... I was counting, and I lost count at four with the bee jokes.
Oh, well, I had, I think, seven just in my lead into Jim Cross at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So, yeah. This has been such a fun morning because of that story.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I don't...
It's some comic relief.
Yeah. I think right now with the condition of sports in Arizona, we can use all the comic relief.
Oh, but they won.
They did win. And they beat the Dodgers, which
they
is always good. Anytime we beat
Dodgers,
a team from L.A.
Yes.
So, great news. Thanks,
yeah,
Jamie.
You're welcome.
And good morning, everyone. Yes, we have got so much to get to this morning. And we're going to start in a different place. Not economy. We're going to get to that. Not the border. Going to get to that. We're going to start with the campus protests, how ridiculous they are and the attention we're paying to it and the seriousness in which we are treating it. There are a couple of things that you need to know. First of all, there is a they brought in to Columbia University. They brought in a protest consultant. I didn't know there was such a thing. But a protest consultant was brought in, and she was showing, and I'm going to read this to you. She was showing Columbia University students how to protest. What should have been a peaceful protest has basically been co-opted by professional outside agitators. We were extremely cautious about releasing our intel information because our goal is to ensure the safety of the students, the faculty, and without destruction to property. This is the mayor of New York. We have sounded the alarm several times before external actors who attempted to hijack this private protest. ASU nipped this in the bud. ASU also put out a statement immediately saying, hey, listen, these are not ASU students. There are some students there, but the vast majority of the 70, I think 67 of the 72 people that were arrested at ASU were not students at ASU. These are outside agitators. So I want you to hear a protester at Columbia. This protester at Columbia is upset. And this shows you, again, you want to talk about privileged people. These are students on a campus. Why is it that they should bring in? Why is Columbia University, these students and protesters barricaded themselves in a building, broke windows, broke doors. Then they barricaded themselves in the building and then they began to make demands. And one of them was food and water. Now, why in the world would you think if you barricaded yourself in a room that you should be entitled to food and water? And this is Joanna King Slutsky, and the real name, the Columbia protester.
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
Basic humanitarian aid. Could we have a glass of water? Now you're down for the struggle, aren't you? These are people that are truly down for the struggle. We are willing to suffer what's necessary for our cause. You want to know why people mock? I will tell you that I am so encouraged with the young people that I work with in this building. I'm encouraged by the younger generation. This is why people are discouraged by the next generation. If you talk to some of the protesters in the 1960s, go and talk to people that marched in civil rights marches in the 1960s. These students have spent an hour or two. First of all, they broke into a building. They broke in. They barricaded themselves in. And now they're saying, can we please have a glass of water? Look how mean you're being. What kind of a community do you want here at Columbia? Don't you want the kind where we can sit outside any building we want and put up tents and say and do death to the Jews and all these other things and fly the Hamas flag? And then when you come in to punish us, we break into buildings and barricade ourselves inside. And you horrible people aren't going to provide us with water and food? So reporters go kind of, this reporter continues to push back on the answer that somehow the school is obligated to fulfill their meal plan requirements, even though the students have committed crimes and broken into buildings.
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take up this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
So we don't want them to stop it. Well, they stopped it yet? Well, we don't know. We don't know. So they haven't stopped bringing you food and water. Well, we're looking for a commitment and basic humanitarian aid. I want you to think about what's happening. No matter what side of the issue you're on, I want you to think about what's happening in Ukraine. I want you to think about what's happening in Gaza. I want you to think about what's happening in other parts of the world, whether it's through famine or it's through war or what it's from. Real human suffering. And they're talking about breaking into a building. Why don't they just demand Starbucks? Why don't they just make the demand for Starbucks? And she calls it basic humanitarian aid. Are you kidding me? This shows you the sheltered existence where people get so closed into their ideology. And it wouldn't matter what side of the argument they're on here. They broke into a building and within a couple of hours are calling it humanitarian aid. You haven't had a drink of water in a couple of hours. There are people that haven't eaten in days. That's humanitarian aid. This is absolutely, it shows you the elitist mentality of some people. She is fulfilling every stereotype there is about a college student and how they behave and how sheltered they are and elitist. They pretend as if they're not the elites, and they are absolutely the elites in this country. This is embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Let's go to another protest. This is in UT Austin talking about arrest. This is Jim Ryan at ABC.
Austin police say they've caught demonstrators with rocks, clubs, chains, and guns. But Maria Warren Hernandez, who was arrested Monday, says,
I haven't seen anything that resembled violence. It's always been about peacefully protesting and making a point.
She acknowledges that she is not a student at UT. University administrators say that of the 79 people arrested Monday, 45 had no campus affiliation.
So again, these are people infiltrating campuses. We've seen this in many other movements, and they've happened before. These are outside agitators ginning up problems on universities where there isn't a problem. ASU did a great job of arresting people and telling them you'll be arrested on this campus. Again, you look at how long this has gone on. They brought in, this woman has been arrested 80 times. Not the voice you just heard, the one I alluded to earlier. A woman has been arrested 80 times in her life for protesting various causes around the country. This now it's Free Palestine. Other times it's been climate change. She calls herself a professional protester, a protest consultant. And there's video of her showing them how to chant, showing them how to behave, showing them how to barricade doors. I can't help you with that in one of the videos. I can't help you with that, but you need to flip it against the doors this way. And she's consulting them on how to protest and barricade themselves in buildings. If that's not embarrassing, I don't know what is. Coming up in just a moment, we are going to talk about the economy. The Fed meets today. What are they going to do? And what will whatever they do accomplish? We're going to get to this coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks for being here. Right in the middle of our work week, Fed is expected to keep interest rates higher for longer amid stubborn inflation. There are a couple of things that are happening. The one reason why the Fed might lower rates is because our national debt is already extremely high. It is every expert we are listening to and watching and reading are saying, this is from around the world, the International Monetary Fund weighed in. We've got barons of business weighing in, the Congressional Budget Office and others. This unsustainable path that the U.S. economy is on because of the deficit spending that continues. And it seems to be falling on deaf ears. We continue to talk about the growing government. But on top of that, with interest rates going up, it costs us more to pay down that debt. So interest rates going down may help the national debt problem that we have, but at the same time, it might accelerate inflation. And so it's still remaining very high. We are concerned about stagflation. The job market came in better than expected, lower than it was the month before, but higher than was expected. But one in four people in the U.S. right now are worried about losing their jobs this year. The statistics about consumer confidence being the lowest in over 2 years. So these are the things that are the reality for people. Perception is reality. You can write glossy stories about how the economy actually isn't that bad. People are paying a lot more money for things that they need, for the things that sustain them. Fuel remains very, very high. Food remains high. There are many saying it's going to continue to be high. When we talked to the Arizona Farm Bureau, and they were saying that, their cost for fertilizer has gone up 78% in the last year, I think it was, maybe a little bit more than that, or 76%. Huge increases in cost in fuel. These are the indicators. You want to dig a little deeper and find out why things are happening. The state of California does this mandatory arbitrary wage increase to $20 an hour for food chains that are large food chains, McDonald's, things like that. So what happens is they've had to raise prices. Starbucks is raising prices. McDonald's, Burger King, all of the chains are raising prices. So customers are saying, well, I'm going to have to go to little mom and pop places, because one story I read, it's anecdotal, but one of the stories, a customer said, well, I have, once a week or so I go out. I used to go to Chick-fil-A or wherever I would go to, and it was $16 for the meal that I had before. Now it's over $20. But the burrito shop down the street, the mom and pop burrito shop, was $10. They didn't change their price. I'm going to have to eat there more often. Once again, it is the idea that you're going to help people and you're hurting the very people that you're trying to help. McDonald's and other big chains are warning that low-income consumers are starting to crack, and they absolutely are. When you are causing prices to go up with this is not about taxes. Taxes, I talk about them all the time, and the bloated government, and it's growing bigger and it's not shrinking. But when you are increasing regulation, and that's what this is, you're not taxing them and taking the money as a government. But what you are doing is forcing them to raise their prices because you're forcing them to spend more money on labor. You may be helping a minuscule number of people, because people are going to lose their jobs. They're not getting help, but the employees that you keep are going to get a raise, and it's going to help a small number of individuals. But you look at the ripple effect. And this isn't, it's not as if they weren't warned. This isn't a new issue. This isn't something that hasn't been argued for decades. It has been argued for decades. The Dow fell 570 points, but that's going to bounce back. It always does. What we are looking at here, now regulations, here's another thing. There is a new regulations that are going into effect on appliances. One of them is going to be efficiency standards on water heaters. Now, we've had this conversation with many people, and it's been a battle all the time about energy efficiency and things of that nature. When the market dictates things, we should always try to improve, and when you can lower prices when it's efficient. So if you go, I'm not an air conditioning technician, but one of my best friends is in Florida, and I have friends here in that business. When you go to sell someone a new air conditioning unit, when your air conditioning is 15 years old and it's getting ready to go out and you need a new system in your home, one of the selling points you're going to get, and it's a legitimate selling point, is we have new efficiency standards on this. This is the most efficient. It's going to save you money. It's going to cool your home for less money. So yes, you're going to have to spend on this item, but you got to replace it anyway. You might as well get something that's really fuel or really energy efficient, so it drives down your energy bills. What's fascinating about that, it's one of the reasons why in my previous home, I love the fact that I had gas appliances. It has a gas range, it has a gas dryer, and it has a gas water heater. It is enormously less expensive to have those appliances as gas appliances in that home. But the air conditioning was still electric. And the heat was still electric. And buying an energy efficient unit made sense on a home because you want to use, you know, if you're going to have to buy one anyway. But when you have these energy standards, so you have the White House and the energy standards rules all in the interest of climate change and everything else, they're raising the standards on air conditioning units. They're raising the standards on washers and dryers, on refrigerators, and now on water heaters. So you as an individual are going to spend a lot more here in this country, in this state. Forget the rest of the country. Let's just talk about Arizona. We are going to, in great detail, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about bills that are going to allow for less expensive homes to be built so that we can get people into homes that don't make enough money to put a down payment on or make the monthly payment. But isn't it fascinating that it's going to cost a lot more money to build homes with these new standards? That's going to go into the cost of production of these homes. You have to consider what these things are. You have to consider them. All right, coming up, we are going to have Gatos, and it is our Big Q poll question of the day, so we want you to stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Ah, good morning. You know, there's craziness on these college campuses, and I decided for the Q, I'm going to lighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
Go a little bit away from the pro-Hamas protest. Call them jihadists. It doesn't matter.
All right.
As long as they're in jail, that's fine. So, what has been, what has been the strangest thing that's happened to the Diamondbacks so far this season? All right.
Here we go.
A rain out at Chase in spring training. Remember that? It's the first ever rain out at Chase Field. They don't even have a tarp. Why? Because they have a roof. Use the roof. If it starts raining, close the roof, but they can't do it. So that's A. B, a 14-run inning on opening day, which was crazy. Or, of course, what happened last night, a B delay.
And isn't it interesting that the B delay also has a little bit to do with the idea that you can't close the roof?
Yeah, how did the bees get in? The roof was open. Mm-hmm. And then they all decided to go to one specific place behind a home plate, and like, you can't play through that. Like, usually, like, if there's a beehive that's not even like near, let's say you go to your pool, right? Yep. You're at your pool and there's a beehive, you know, in some big tree, you're still at your pool.
Just
right,
all you needed was one of the D-backs pitchers to hit it with a fastball.
That's it.
Just like the pigeons.
That's it. You know, some of these guys, they'll take like the Gatorade and they'll dump it over your head. Just do something like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop a game for 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree.
It's that was a lot of bees, though.
Let me tell you something. I listened to your replay yesterday of the parts of your interview with Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Very spicy. But
very spicy.
But it was terrific. It was terrific. I know you had to bleep out some words. I get that. But it was really funny, and it was pretty edgy, man. You were pushing the limits where he was anyway, and I liked
it. You have to.
I liked
it. Listen, you got to, if you have Bill Maher on, you know he's going to be, as you say, spicy. So you got to go right along with it and see if you can outdo him a little bit.
I was in my truck giggling at Bruce just yelling, Bill!
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 Bill! Bill! Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Bill Maher came to play yesterday. He was terrific.
He did. It was a terrific interview. I do like the poll question. I'm already tired of the bee jokes. That's all I've had around here all day are bee jokes. Unbelievable, all this other stuff. But it was a great question. And I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Gatos. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, we are going to talk about bills in the legislature that may allow for municipalities to build homes or developers to build smaller homes and save people money. Will this get through the legislature? Will the governor sign it? And will it have an impact on home prices? It's one of the things we're going to talk about in just a few moments.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.